Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We've been going through the Ten Commandments, and we are on commandment number four. So commandment number four, Exodus chapter 20. So I saw someone put on my Facebook, since we're going through the Ten Commandments, I saw someone put the Hillbilly Commandments on. So here they are. If you can hit the lights a little bit just to make it easier for them to see them. See if you can figure out which commandment this is in Western PA language. Ain't but one God. Which commandment is that in English? Number one, don't have any gods before me. Honor your ma and pa. Honor mom and dad, right? Honor your father and mother. No telling tales or gossiping. Do not lie, bear false witness. Get your hide to Sunday meeting. That's today's sermon. Yes. All right. Ain't nothing come before the Lord. That's don't make any graven images, idols. No fooling with another fellow's gal. That's don't commit adultery, right? No killing except for critters. That shall not murder. Quit your foul mouthing. That one took me a while to figure. But that's last week's sermon. Don't misuse the Lord's name in vain, okay? No swiping your kinfolk's stuff. So that's stealing. And don't be, I think it should be hankering, but it says harking for it neither. So that's do not covet. Do not covet. So, all right. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, by keeping it separate, a special day. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, that's your employees, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the origin of the Sabbath is actually not the law, the Ten Commandments themselves. The origin of the Sabbath goes all the way back to creation, that God worked 6 days. A lot of people think that work is bad. I don't believe work's bad at all. God loves working, and it'll be interesting when we get to heaven to see all the works God's going to do and all the work that he'll have for us. We'll love it. But he worked 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh. It's just like, wow, look what I've done. I personally believe that God did create the earth in 6 days. The Hebrew word for days is 6 24-hour days. I do believe God could have created the earth in 6 seconds, by the way, right? But I think he did it in 6 days to set the pattern. If he created the earth in 6 seconds and then said, hey, look, work for 6 seconds and take 1 second off, would that have been very good? No. He could have created the earth in 6 million years, right? Hey, work for 6 million years and then you can have 1 million years off. That wouldn't make sense either. I think he set up the whole thing. The rotation of the earth, 24 hours, the movement. I think he set up the whole plan with us in mind and set the example. I'm going to work 6 24-hour days. I'm going to create everything. I can do it in a flash. But to set the example for you, I'm going to do it in 6 days. And the seventh day, I'm going to rest and take off. And I believe this should be a pattern for all of you to follow. In fact, if you read the end of Isaiah, which I don't have in here, but at the end of Isaiah, it is very clear that after God makes the new heaven and the new earth, and we all get to heaven, we take a Sabbath off for eternity. For eternity. God has that pattern for all of us. We're going to work 6 days, and then we're all going to gather together back at the New Jerusalem, and we're going to worship and take one day off. So it's a pattern that is set by the Lord. Now, the Ten Commandments were given to Moses. We believe there were two tablets. We believe that the first tablet had to do with the commandments that deal with our relationship to God. So that's the first four commandments. And that the second tablet had to do with our relationship to one another. That's why Jesus said, you can summarize the law of God. You can summarize the Ten Commandments by two great commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Tablet number one. And love your neighbor as yourself. Tablet number two. However, commandment number four seems to be a hinge commandment that involves both tablets. It involves God in that one day out of seven, as it says there in Exodus 20, verse 10, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God, something special for God. So it belongs on tablet number one in that this is a day we give to God, a special set-apart day for the Lord, to worship him, to let him know he's first in our life, to let God know it's not all about work, it's about enjoying our work, enjoying the Lord. But it's a hinge commandment that it also goes into tablet number two, which is that no one should be working. It's a time to get with family. And if you honor that commandment number four, it also blesses you physically, because commandment number four is for you to rest. So if you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you will practice commandment number four. So it's a hinge commandment that could be on either tablet. The reason for the Sabbath? I think there are basically, well, there's a couple reasons. One, I think it's to get together with God. I think God likes fellowshipping with us. And so every Sabbath in heaven, we get together with the Lord. He's our Father. It's like parents. Like, we like getting together with our kids on Sunday. It's kind of, my kids are working all week long, and then it's like, hey, let's get together. What's the point of having kids if you can't get together every so often? And it's nice for the family to get together. And the Lord's the same way. I'm your Father. I want to get together with you every Sunday. Do whatever you want for 6 days. That's kosher, right? But every seventh day, let's get together in church. Let's have a family reunion. And so it's for the Lord, and it's also for us that it's a day of rest. God wants us to rest every 7 days. The day off was for everyone. You know, husband, wife, the kids, your employees, even your animals. Like, there's all kinds of studies that show if farmers or coal miners or whoever worked their animals every single day, they would drop over dead. They would burn out fast. So it's kind of built into all of us that you need a day off every seven. Come back to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus 16, the Lord goes over his instructions for the Israelites to gather manna. So remember, the Israelites came out of Egypt. There's about 3 million Israelites in the desert. And they're going to be in the desert for 40 years. And there is no food to feed 3 million people. And so what God does is he feeds them what is known as manna. Okay? And it's the food of angels. I don't know if the angels sprinkle it down. So they would sprinkle it down every day for the Israelites, for 3 million people to eat. Otherwise, they would have all died in the wilderness over 40 years. So here's the instructions for them to get that manna, the food of angels. Starting in verse 19. Then Moses said to them, when you gather the manna, no one is to keep any of it until morning. So each day, just get enough manna for that day. Don't save it for the next day. However, verse 20, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. God said, collect one day at a time. If you try to keep it to the next day, maggots are in the food. Verse 21, each morning everyone gathered as much as he needed, and when the sun grew hot, it melted away. On the sixth day, they gathered twice as much, two omers for each person. And the leaders of the community came and reported this to Moses. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is to be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. You'll constantly see it's a day for God and it's a day for us to rest. So let me see. Verse 23. He said to them, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow is a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So bake what you want to bake, and boil what you want to boil. Save whatever is left, and keep it until morning. So they saved it until morning, as Moses commanded, and it did not stink or get maggots in it. Eat it today, Moses said, because today is a Sabbath to the Lord. You will not find any of it on the ground today. 6 days you are to gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will not be any. So let me stop here for a second. The day off, Sabbath, the day off was for women, basically probably the women, I'm sure maybe men did some cooking back then. But the Lord was like, I don't want any cooking on the day off either. So I know sometimes women, that may be their worst work day, is all the cooking and preparations they do on. And I love it when women tell me, oh man, pastor, I can't come to church, family's coming in, I can't make it to church because I got to cook and prepare and do all kinds of stuff. Well, I'm like, no, that's, the Jews weren't allowed to do that. You had to prepare all the food the day before so that everyone could rest. The man, the wife, the kids, the servants, and everything. So that one day God says, hey, on the day before the Sabbath, you can gather twice as much, bake it, cook it, fry it, microwave it, whatever. But I want everyone to be able to rest on the day off. Although I saw this and I thought this was humorous. So now tell me more about these days off and weekends you speak of, and how do I sign up for them to get rest when you're raising kids? Okay. So let's read on. Verse 27. Nevertheless, some of the people went out on the seventh day to gather it, but they what? They found none. I think this is interesting. So every day they would gather the manna. If they tried to keep it over for 2 days through the week, it was rotting and smelling and full of maggots. Except for the sixth day, they could gather twice as much, and it was okay the next day. But the manna only showed up miraculously for 40 years for 6 days. And then one day, there was no manna. It wasn't there, even if you went out to get it. It wasn't there. And I'm kind of humorous, because manna, again, seems to be the food of angels, that it comes from heaven. We probably get to taste some of it up in heaven. And I'm imagining God's up in heaven going, my angels don't work on the Sabbath either. So they're not dropping it and putting it down there for you. They get a day off as well. So get twice as much on the day before, okay? Of course, they went out to find if there was more manna. Verse 28, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commands and my instructions? Bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day he gives you bread for 2 days. Everyone is to stay where he is on the seventh day. No one is to go out. So the people rested on the seventh day. The people of Israel called the bread manna. So the Sabbath, one day a week, is supposed to be for the Lord, and it's supposed to be a day of rest, a day for family to get together in church. So you'll notice that verse said that they weren't to go out. End of verse 29. Stay where you are on the seventh day. No one is to go out. unless they were going to worship. The Orthodox Jews still follow this to the kind of the letter of the law. They do not leave their homes other than to go to worship. They don't leave their homes to go shopping or anywhere else. Now, they have ways, the Orthodox Jews have ways to get around this. So, like, they are allowed, I believe, to move to go 500 feet from their homes. So, if they know on the Sabbath that they want to visit someone that's down the street, the day before the Sabbath, they'll take one of their chairs and they'll put it within 500 feet of that person's home. And that's an extension of their house. And so then they can walk to the chair, and then they can walk to that person's house. The other way they can get around that 500 feet limitation is by attaching the end of a string to the inside of your house. Then you can walk as far as the string can take you, and you're still part of your home. Okay? So I was thinking, this may be very helpful for some people. Okay. So they were very, to this day, the Orthodox Jews are very, I mean, I guess you could almost say caught up in legalism. Here's the Christians. In 1656, the Puritans passed laws that forbid all vain and profane walking on the Sabbath. In 1842, the first people to take the train on a Sunday were met at the station by a group of clergy that told them they were on the train to hell. Now, I realize if you study the history of the church for 2,000 years, Sunday was a very sacred, special, holy day. In fact, when I grew up, and I believe in New Jersey they still have the blue laws, but, you know, Sunday was go to church, the stores were shut down, you didn't do anything else. Sunday was for the Lord, you know, and maybe, I don't know, maybe we were legalistic, I don't. But I wonder if the pendulum has gone from legalism to like anything goes. Like, I wonder if Sunday is any different now for people than any other day of the week. Have we lost something? Are we breaking that rhythm of God saying, look, I want you to work 6 days and I want you to take a day off. I want you to rest. I follow the pattern myself. And do whatever you want to do for 6 days, but one day out of the week is for me. I want you to get together with family. I want you to worship. I kind of wonder if the pendulum has swung, and now for most people like, oh, Sunday's like any other day, and maybe I have time for God. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm going to work. Maybe I get worried a little bit. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31, verse 12. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. They will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come. So you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Observe the Sabbath because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Whoever does work any work on that day must be cut off from his people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day must be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for the generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he abstained from work, and he rested. So it was a sign for the Jewish people to take Saturday off. Obviously, if you broke the Sabbath, you're in trouble. I do believe that the Sabbath day has changed for the believer. And it changed from Saturday. Saturday was a Sabbath day that was a special day for the Jewish people. I do believe God changed the Sabbath day for believers to Sunday. I don't believe we changed it. I think God changed it. Why do I think God changed it? Jesus rose from the dead on what day? Sunday. When he would appear to his apostles in the upper room and they'd have a worship service, what day would that be? Sunday. The day of Pentecost, that actually these were even prophesied in the Old Testament. The day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came on the church, what day was that? Sunday. Paul tells the church in Corinthians to gather their offerings on Sunday. The Apostle John would get visions from the Lord on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. And so there seems to be a clear change. I think philosophically it's because for the Jew, they worked 6 days and then earned a day of rest. For the Christians, we start our week resting in Jesus and salvation. We do not work for our rest. We don't work for our salvation. We have it in Jesus. And so we start our week with the Lord, and then we serve him for 6 days out of appreciation of our resting in Jesus and resting in our salvation. So it is not, we did not change it, Jesus changed it. Obviously, in the early church, there was some debate going on because the Jewish Christians, this is in Romans 14, the Jewish Christians were still kind of honoring Saturday. The Gentile Christians were worshiping the Lord on Sunday, and they were judging each other. And Paul goes, stop it, you guys. Some of you, if you want to worship the Lord on Saturday and that's your one day off and you're going to get together at the synagogues and you're worshiping Jesus, that's fine. If you want to worship on Sunday and get together with, that's good too. Stop judging. It doesn't matter. What does matter is one day out of seven and a day to set apart to rest and to give to God. I think that's the eternal principle. Isaiah 58. I call it the Sabbath blessing. It's a promise. Isaiah 58. And this is a great promise. I want to testify that I have stood on this promise and I have found God to be very faithful in keeping his promises. Isaiah 58. I call this a Sunday blessing. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day. Let me back up. Saturday was a sign to all the other religions that the Israelites worship God. I believe Sunday is a sign for Christians to announce to the world that we worship Jesus. The rest of the world could care less about Sunday. They're trying to make Sunday like any other day. For Christians, we should say to the world, oh, no, 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 no. Sunday is a sign that we are believers, that we work 6 days hard for Jesus. The seventh day is for God and for family and to rest. It's because we're believers. It's a sign we follow, set by God himself. So if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight, I love going to church, and I love that day off, and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then here are the three blessings. Blessing number one, then you will find your joy in the Lord. You know what the world is trying to find? Happiness. And I'm like, ah. The Lord is saying, you give me Sunday and you'll find your joy in the Lord. You'll find the real happiness that you're all seeking for. Number two, he says, you'll ride on the heights of the land. That's talking about eagles that fly from mountain peak to mountain peak. It's speaking of victory. You will have victory in your life, okay? Instead of constantly having defeat after defeat after defeat in the valleys of life. You'll ride on the heights of the land. And number three, you'll feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. Now, we're going to get a great inheritance when we get to heaven. But I notice, Robin and I will visit her parents, and I noticed that before they've even died, they're beginning to give us some of the inheritance. So what they do is we show up, and Robin's mom will go, hey, is there anything in the home you like? And Rama would go, well, I really love that because you painted that, Mom. And she says, you take it now. Take it now. Okay? So they're like giving some of their inheritance ahead of time. You with me? Well, that's what God does. I can't fathom the inheritance we're all going to have, okay? But I think he likes giving some of it ahead of time. Just teasers, a little bit of a taste, blessings that are in Jesus, spiritual blessings, sometimes financial, sometimes health, but different blessings that he gives us, just a little taste of the inheritance that is coming. And those are the three promises that God says he will give to us. Hebrews chapter 10, last verse. Hebrews 10, verse 25. The Apostle Paul writes, verse 25, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing." See, going to church has to become a habit. Like, as I always say this, I brush my teeth every day. I don't know if there's a day in my life since I was a teenager that I haven't brushed my teeth. Anyone here, have you brushed your teeth every day? Okay, most of you haven't. Well, I'm kidding. I'm almost sure that I take a shower every day. I cannot remember, especially being married, because I know for a fact if I don't take a shower, my wife's nose is amazing. And she can like, "Hey, you didn't shower today." And needless to say, I'm in trouble. So going to church is a habit. It's a habit just like those in my life. Do not give up meeting together, as some are in a habit of doing. It's easy to get into the habit of not going to church. And it says that we should meet together, and all the more. But let us encourage one another. We come to church to encourage one another. And all the more as you see what? The day approaching. And obviously, is day capitalized in your Bible? I am sure that's got to be talking about this Tuesday, right? We should be meeting all the more and praying as a church until we see the day's coming, which is Tuesday. Okay, no, I'm kidding. What day is that talking about? His coming. And I think his coming is coming soon. So we should be meeting all the more as the tribulation is going to start. And hopefully we're out of here. Hey, I love church. Church is an encouragement to one another. And let's have some prayer, and then let's have the elders. Father, Lord, Sunday, I know that the world looks forward to Friday, to Saturday perhaps. But Lord, my week is like around Sunday. And it's just a delight, and it's a joy to gather together with the saints, with family, but most importantly, to come to your house and to worship you. And Lord, we have set this day apart in the week to honor you, to lift your name up, to worship you, to gather with the saints, to serve, to give, and to have communion here. I pray, Lord, that my fellow brothers and sisters would discover the blessing of honoring the Lord's Day. That, Lord, you would infuse the believers with a joy that the world can't understand. That they'll want to know, what's the joy, the hope that we have? And I pray, Lord, that the believers would discover that when you give one day to you, you give us victory the other 6 days. And Lord, that you give gifts, that when we get together with you, you like giving good gifts out to us. Bless our time of communion, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.